Want you to turn to, and I'm, if you don't have your Bibles, it's okay, because I'm going to put most of the scriptures up here on the screen this morning on PowerPoint, but I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and Acts chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and Acts chapter 1. I'm going to kind of tell you how this service is going to go this morning, for the rest of the service, I should say. Is we're going to look into the Word of God. I'm going to show you some things about the resurrection today. And then at the end of the service, at the end of my message, we're going to have a church family communion this morning, okay? And Dusty's got some guys ready to service communion here at the end. And we're going to have communion. And then our praise team is going to come up during communion. And then they're going to lead us out with a glorious day today, okay? So that's kind of how the rest of the service is going to go. But, and then on the, so I just want to prepare you for that. I'm also preparing our online church families. We have people that are tuning in that are from different states. So you want to go ahead and get your grape juice or your red wine ready and your bread or cracker or something, because we're going to have communion at the very end. All right. Today's message is entitled Eight Victories in the Resurrection of Jesus. And in John 19, verse 30, Jesus said this. He said, it is finished. Look at somebody and say, it is finished. Guys, I cannot tell you how finished it is today. It is done. It can't get any more done than it is. And that Greek word, how many of you wanted to come to Easter and learn a Greek word today? Okay, this is for all you nerds out there, all right? Is tetelestai. Everybody say tetelestai. Tetelestai, so you know some Greek. That Greek word means this. In that Greek word, when Jesus said, it is finished, the New Testament was written in Greek, the Old Testament was written in Hebrew. So in the Greek, that was translated tetelestai. That is a power-packed word in the Greek, and it means this. It has three different meanings. The first one was in business, and it meant this. Your debt is fully paid. So Jesus paid the debt for our sin in full. He was our substitute. It's also a word in the court system. In the court system, it meant your sentence is fully served. So Jesus took our judgment and our punishment on the cross. This is how powerful the cross is. The cross and the resurrection go together. As Will was saying this morning, the cross is so powerful. The resurrection is so powerful. The last part of it, it's a business term, it's a court term, and then it's a military term. In the military term, it meant this, the battle is fully won. And Jesus defeated our enemy, which is Satan, sin, and sickness, disease, and viruses. Jesus fought the battle, and we get the victory. Amen. And everybody said, amen. Now, we could just go home right there. We could go home and eat our ham and all the stuff that we got cooking. And that's what I got at home right now waiting on me. But now I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And this is what we're going to look at today. Whenever I was studying in the Gospels about the resurrection, after the resurrection, in the Gospels and in the book of Acts, Jesus appeared before he ascended into heaven. There was a 40-day period there, and he appeared to his disciples and to other followers 8 times, is what the scriptures record. And so I'm just going to take you through the Gospels this morning. We're going to look at a lot of scripture this morning. I just want you to listen. If you want the notes, I'll email them to you. All you got to do is ask me, give me your email, and I'll send them to you. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 through 8, this is what it says. He says, I passed to you what was most important and what had also been passed on to me. This is the Apostle Paul talking to the Corinthian church. He said, Christ died for our sins just as the scriptures said. He was buried and he was raised from the dead on the third day, just as the scriptures said. He was seen by Peter and then by the 12. After that, he was seen by more, listen to this, by more than 500 of his followers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have died. Then he was seen by James and later by all the apostles. Last of all, as though this was after he ascended, by the way, last of all, as though I had been born at a wrong time, at the wrong time, I also saw him. That's the Apostle Paul talking. But we're going to look at the 8 times that he appeared to the disciples before he ascended into heaven. Now, a lot of people don't understand what the resurrection is, and this is what the resurrection is. Resurrection is not resuscitation. Amen. It's not like the people Jesus brought back to life, they died again. Jesus raised three people from the dead in the Gospels. They ended up dying again. Resurrection is not reincarnation. Resurrection is not a mystical vision or a phantom appearance by a ghost. Resurrection is the remaking, the transforming of matter in this created order. It becomes something new, something has never before existed. I can't wait to have my resurrected, glorified body. I've already seen it. I look like Arnold Schwarzenegger in the spirit, in his prime. I'm just kidding. But when you go and read, the reason why I wanted to say that is because when you go read the Gospels about the resurrection, and after you see Jesus, after he's been resurrected, all of a sudden it says that he appears, and then he disappears. He appears, and then he disappears. He appears to his disciples here in a little bit, and he goes, boo. No, he said, peace to you, is what he said. And he's doing all this stuff. He's appearing and disappearing. He's also eating. We're going to read that he can eat in this resurrected body. But that resurrected body is something that's never been created before. One of these days, you're going to have a resurrected body. Amen. Sunday is coming. Amen. It's coming. And so here's our biblical number for the day is 8. So if you have a favorite number by the end of today, your new favorite number is going to be 8, I promise you, okay? So I'm going to kind of go through the Bible and talk about biblical numerology for just a second, because 8 is the number of resurrection. Now listen to this. God saved 8 people on the ark in order to have a new beginning for mankind after the flood. That's Noah in the flood, Noah's ark. Boys were to be circumcised on the 8th day, and the number 8 symbolizes circumcision from the heart through Christ and the receiving of the Holy Spirit. Those in Christ are becoming a new creation with godly character being created by the power of God's Spirit. That's what's happening to all of us right now. If you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit is sanctifying you to be more like Jesus. And everybody said, amen. The New Testament, listen to this, was penned by only 8 men: Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, James, Peter, Jude, and Paul. By the way, Mark is my favorite book in the Bible. That's a joke. I worked on that all week for today, okay? Here's the next one. Jesus showed himself alive 8 times after his resurrection, which I've already talked about that, from the dead. And the number 8 represents a new beginning, meaning a new order or creation, and man's true born-again event when he is resurrected from the dead into eternal life. Sunday is the first day of the week, right here today. It was the 8th day after Jesus celebrated his entry into Jerusalem. The Bible states God created the heavens and the earth in 6 days and rested on the 7th. The number 7 in the Bible is the number of completion, and God rested on the 7th day of creation in the book of Genesis. The number 8 is the number above completion, so 7 plus 1 is the start of a new creation, a new order of things. 8 is the number of the resurrection. And this is when Jesus said in Revelation 21, verse 5, he says, look, I am making everything new. And I don't know if you've ever seen The Passion of the Christ. I encourage you to see that by Mel Gibson. Next year he's going to be releasing The Resurrection. I cannot wait until that comes out next year. But when I watched The Passion of the Christ, I've seen it several times, but the part where I lost it, I mean, I wept, was whenever Jesus was carrying his cross and his mother came along. You know, they made that scene, and he looked at his mother and he says, Mom, I go to make all things new. And I just lost it. And that's what Jesus did for every one of us here today. He made everything new. And the Bible records at least, like I said, at least 8 appearances of the resurrection of Jesus to different people at various times and locations over a 40-day period before he ascended into heaven. And in each of these appearances, we're going to look at each of these eight, and I'm going to show you the scripture reference that goes with it, and I'm going to show you the victory that we have in that situation. And here's the first one. The first one is victory over despair. And this is in Mark chapter 16, verses 9 through 11. It says, after Jesus rose from the dead early on Sunday morning, the first person who saw him was Mary Magdalene. And this is from the woman from whom he had cast out 7 demons. She went to the disciples who were grieving and weeping and told them what had happened. But when she told them that Jesus was alive and she had seen him, they didn't believe her. So Jesus appears to Mary Magdalene. He appears to her at the tomb. She had been weeping at the tomb. She was in despair. She was grieving. The other disciples were grieving. And Jesus appeared to her and brought victory over despair. I don't know if you've ever had despair in here this morning. I have. And back in, most of you know my story, Jade and I's story, but back in 1998, our son went home to be with Jesus. And you talk about despair that we went through. And I'm going to tell you what, I was studying this, I was just, thank you, Jesus, for victory over despair. Because I couldn't stand up here before you today a sane man. Because what keeps me sane, what keeps me plugged in, is the hope of the resurrection, what I'm teaching you today, what I'm ministering to you today. That's my hope. That's what I'm banking my whole life on. I haven't never seen Jesus. I've never seen heaven. But and we're going to look at this here in just a second. Blessed is he who hasn't seen but still believes. And that's what gives me that victory over despair. And there's some of you in here that know what I'm talking about. You have that victory as well. Guys, I just want to say it again. Sunday is coming. And everybody said, amen. All right, here's the second one. Victory over death. There's no more sting in death, no more separation in death. If you're a believer and as soon as you pass away on this planet, you're going to be in heaven. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Matthew 28, verses 5 through 10 says this, "Then the angel spoke to the women, 'Don't be afraid,' he said. 'I know you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. He isn't here. He has risen from the dead, just as he said he would happen. Come see where his body was lying. And now go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead, and he is going ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there. Remember what I have told you.' The women ran quickly from the tomb, and they were very frightened, but also filled with great joy. And they rushed to give the disciples the angel's message. And as they went, Jesus met them and greeted them, and they ran to him. And they grasped his feet and worshiped him. And then Jesus said to them, 'Don't be afraid. Go tell my brothers to leave for Galilee, and they will see me there.' So Jesus appeared to the women as they were leaving the tomb. They thought he was dead, but he appeared to them, and they worshiped him there. And Jesus brought victory over death." And everybody said, amen. All right, here's number three, victory over confusion. And I'm going to tell you something right now. There is never before since I've been alive on this planet for 53 years, that there has never been a spirit of confusion that's been released like there is right now. And it's to the point where it's deceiving the very elect, is what the word says. And I'm going to tell you something, church and Christians and believers here today, don't celebrate confusion, celebrate the truth. We're so confused today, people don't know the difference between a boy and a girl, all right? We got to go back to the Word of God, Genesis. God created male and female. Don't celebrate confusion. Celebrate the truth. And everybody said, amen. All right, Luke chapter 24 says this, "Then Jesus took them through the writings of Moses." This is when he appeared to some disciples on the road to Emmaus, and it says, "All the prophets, explaining from all the scriptures the things concerning himself." By this time, they were nearing Emmaus at the end of their journey, and Jesus acted as if he was going on, but they begged him, "Stay the night with us, since it is getting late." So he went home with them, and as they sat down to eat, he took the bread and blessed it. Then he broke it and gave it to them, and suddenly their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. And you might be saying, "Well, didn't they know what Jesus looked like before?" And I just want to... I've got to emphasize this for just a second. Probably the best depiction of it was the Passion of the Christ, but you cannot understand what Jesus looked like when he went to the cross. And so that was the image that was embedded in everybody's mind. He was unrecognizable. All right. He was beaten with 39 stripes. They say, I've studied about the crucifixion, the Roman crucifixion. Most people never survived the flogging. They died right there at the whipping post. He didn't, and he had 39 stripes, and it just rips the flesh. I don't want to get into all the gory details, but it just rips the flesh plumb open. And he carried his cross, and you know, we know that somebody helped him carry his cross a little bit later. He gets to the cross, he hangs there for 6 hours, but he was unrecognizable. And so that's why that's still what is embedded in people's minds is, well, he was unrecognizable. And at that moment, he disappeared. So here's this. I can't wait for that resurrected body. Can you just appear and disappear, whatever you want to do? And at that moment, he disappeared. And they said to each other, "Didn't our hearts burn within us as he talked with us on the road and explained the scriptures to us?" So Jesus met these two disciples on the road to Emmaus, and these men were talking about all the week's events surrounding Jesus, and they didn't understand what had happened. And Jesus talked with them and stayed with them until they understood, and Jesus brought victory over confusion. If you're confused, get with Jesus, and he'll stop the confusion and the chaos in your life. Here's number four, victory over fear. So happy for this. This is Luke chapter 24, verses 36 through 43. God wants you to have so much victory over fear that you don't even fear death. Amen? Okay. So Luke chapter 24, verses 36 through 43 says this, and just as they were telling about it, Jesus himself was suddenly standing there among them. Peace with you, he said. But the whole group was startled and frightened, thinking that they were seeing a ghost. Why are you frightened, he asked. Why are your hearts filled with doubt? Look at my hands, look at my feet. You see that it's really me. Touch me and make sure that I'm not a ghost, because ghosts don't have bodies, as you see that I do. And as he spoke, he showed them his hands and his feet, and still they stood there in disbelief, filled with joy and wonder. Then he asked them, do you have anything here to eat? And so he just proved to them, I'm not a ghost, guys, I'm really here. And they gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he ate it as they watched. So Jesus, in this instant, he appeared to 10 of his disciples who were hiding together. They were afraid, here's what they were afraid of, that they're going to die too, just like Jesus did. And so these disciples were afraid of what might happen to them since Jesus had been killed, and Jesus brought them victory over fear. Now, I'm not going to stop just there. I want to show you how much victory over fear that they had. Andrew, these are all 12 of his disciples. Andrew went on to be crucified as well of his belief in Jesus. Bartholomew, beaten, then crucified. James, son of Alphaeus, stoned to death. James, son of Zebedee, beheaded. John, bold and old, but when that failed, he was exiled for his faith, died of old age. Judas, not Iscariot, was stoned to death. Matthew, speared to death. Peter, crucified upside down. Legend has it that Peter said, I'm not even worthy to be crucified in the same manner as my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You need to do it upside down. Philip was crucified. That even sounds like Peter to me. And I encourage you to watch The Chosen, by the way. Philip was crucified. Simon was crucified. Thomas was speared to death. Matthias, who took the place of Judas, was stoned to death. Okay? Let me tell you something. There's only one reason why these men were willing to die for Jesus, and because they had seen him crucified, then they seen him buried, then they saw him rise from the dead, and that truth was worth dying for. Amen. All right, here's number five. Let me go back. Number five is victory over doubt. This is with Thomas in John chapter 20 when he appeared to Thomas. One of the 12 disciples, Thomas, nicknamed the twin, was not with the others when Jesus came. And so they told him, we have seen the Lord. But he replied, I won't believe it unless I see the nail wounds in his hands, put my fingers into them, and place my hand into the wound in his side. 8 days later, there's that number eight again. 8 days later, the disciples were together again, and this time Thomas was with them. The doors were locked, but suddenly, as before, Jesus was standing among them, and he goes this, boo. No, okay, peace be with you. Peace be with you, he said. Then he said to them, Thomas, put your finger here and look at my hands. Put your hand into the wound in my side. This is a word for somebody here today. Don't be faithless any longer. Believe. Don't be faithless any longer. Believe. My Lord and my God, Thomas exclaimed. Then Jesus told him, you believe because you have seen me. Blessed are those who believe without seeing me. If you're a believer today, blessed are those who believe without seeing me. You're blessed today. Look at somebody and say, you're blessed. So Jesus, just like he did with Thomas, with the resurrection, he brought victory, and he brings victory over doubt. God, here, I just want to tell you something today. If you come in here doubting your salvation, that's not the way God wants you to live. God wants you to know that you're a child of his. None of us are perfect. All of us are sinners and fallen short of the glory of God, but God wants you to leave here today with that blessed assurance that you are saved. Amen. That's good news. Victory over failure. victory over failure. And this is when Jesus appears to Peter and some of the disciples. It says, this was the third time Jesus had appeared to his disciples since he had been raised from the dead. And after breakfast, Jesus asked Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord. And Peter replied, you know I love you. Then feed my lambs, Jesus told him. Remember, Peter had denied Jesus three times before the cross. Verse 16 says, Jesus repeated the question, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Simon, son of John, do you love me? Yes, Lord, Peter said, you know I love you. Then take care of my sheep, Jesus said. A third time he asked him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And Peter was hurt that Jesus asked the question a third time, and he said, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. And Jesus said, then feed my sheep. Jesus didn't beat him up for denying him three times. He said, Peter, I still love you. You're still called by me. That calling doesn't go away, and I'm putting you back in ministry today. I need you to go feed my people, feed my sheep with this knowledge that you have. So Jesus brings victory over failure. You can never fail with Jesus. Victory over any other power is number 7. Is everybody learning something today? Guys, I can't tell you, these are the 8 things that Jesus is trying to communicate to us today. There is so much victory in the cross, and there's so much victory in the resurrection today. And this is victory over any other power. And I'm going to read this to you out of my favorite book, Mark chapter 16. And the Gospel of Mark in Mark chapter 16, verses 14 through 20. And this is when he's given the Great Commission to his disciples. And he says, still later, he appeared to the 11 disciples as they were eating together, and he rebuked them for their stubborn unbelief because they refused to believe those who had seen him after he had been raised from the dead. And then he told them, go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone. Anyone who believes and is baptized will be saved, but anyone who refuses to believe will be condemned. By the way, if you've made Jesus your Lord and Savior, if you believe in him, then the very next step of obedience that you need to do is water baptism. And we can do that next Sunday if you'd like to do that. Verse 17 says, these miraculous signs will accompany those who believe. You ready for this? They will cast out demons in my name. They will speak in new languages or new tongues is what one translation says. They'll be able to handle snakes with safety. Now, here's the deal. That's not talking about picking up rattlesnakes and all that stuff during church, okay? If you do that, you just let everybody know you don't go to Harvest Fellowship Church, okay? All right? Because we don't do that around here. That's not what that's even talking about. That's talking about that you have power over the demonic presence, okay? That's what that's talking about. So don't go there, okay? Don't get goofy on us. And if they drink anything poisonous, it won't hurt them. So if you're in service for the Lord, somebody tries to poison you, he's saying you're going to be taken care of because I'm taking care of you. I'm protecting you. They will be able to place their hands on the sick and they will be healed. We did that today up here in this altar, all right? People be healed when you place your hands upon them if you're a believer. Verse 19 says, when the Lord Jesus had finished talking with them, he was taken up into heaven and sat down in the place of honor at God's right hand, and the disciples went everywhere and preached, and the Lord worked through them, confirming what they said by many miraculous signs. We here at Harvest Fellowship Church, we believe when we preach the gospel, when we teach God's word, the Lord's here, he's amongst us, and there's going to be signs, wonders, and miracles following his word. Amen. That's what we believe around here. Here's number 8, and that's Bible. 8 is victory over all things. You've got, you know, I just threw it all in there. You got victory over everything. Look at somebody say, you got victory over everything. This is in Acts chapter 1, the last scripture I told you to turn to. Acts chapter 1, verses 3 through 11, says, during the 40 days after he suffered and died, he appeared to the apostles from time to time, and he proved to them in many ways that he was actually alive. And he talked to them about the kingdom of God. Once he was eating with them, he commanded them, do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised. And as I told you before, by the way, there's another baptism. There's the baptism in the water, and then there's Holy Spirit baptism. This is what he's talking about. Verse 5 says, John baptized you with water, but in just a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So when the apostles were with Jesus, they kept asking him, Lord, has the time come for you to free Israel and restore our kingdom? Okay, they're still not getting it, right? They're still thinking Jesus is going to come back and be king and over Israel and restore the kingdom. And Jesus, he's like, guys, I have a kingdom that you don't even know of, you know. And so they're still not getting it. And so in verse 7 it says, he replied, the Father alone has the authority to set those dates and times, and they are not for you to know. Sometimes there's some things that you don't need to know about. Amen. And there's times that I press into God and say, God, you know, I need to know the date and time of this. And he's like, Mark, you don't need to know. Because if you knew, you'd mess it up. And I don't need you messing it up, because I'm God and you're not. And so there's just sometimes, you know, Father knows best. How many of you tell your kids everything? Mm-mm. If you're a smart parent, you don't. All right. There's some things you keep back because you know it's going to hurt them. They don't understand yet. They're not there yet. This is what the disciples, they're not there yet. They don't understand. If you need to know, God will let you know. All right, that's it. You're on a need-to-know basis with him. Just know that. All right, and they are not for you to know. Verse 8 says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. After saying this, he was taken up into the cloud while they were watching. Watch this. And they could no longer see him. Can you imagine sitting there watching Jesus go up through a cloud, and he just keeps going up there, and he's just a little bitty dot, and he's going through the second heaven, and then he's out of sight. Can you imagine seeing that? Just stop and think about that for just a little bit. That's what's going on with these guys. And as they strained to see him rising into the heaven, two white-robed men suddenly stood among them, and they said, boo. No, they said, I just love it. They said, men of Galilee, I guarantee I would have jumped out of my skin right then. Men of Galilee, they said, why are you standing here staring into the heavens, into heaven? Jesus has been taken from you into heaven. But listen to this. But someday he will return from heaven in the same way you saw him go. Whew, I'm ready for that day. There's going to be a day when this eastern sky just blows open and it's going to be Jesus standing there. And I'm going to make the first 5 foot. You know, you thought Michael Jordan can jump. I'm going to have some hang time, big time. We share in every aspect. This is the reason why I wanted to share all 8 of those today with you, is because I just want to take you through a jet tour through the scriptures and show you this, because we share in every aspect of Jesus' victory, every aspect of it. We have victory over despair. We have victory over death. We have victory over confusion. We have victory over fear. We have victory over doubt. We have victory over failure. We have victory over all the powers of darkness. And we have victory over all things through Jesus' name and through what Jesus did. So that's what you need to rejoice with this Easter, about this Easter. It's about Jesus. Amen. Tetelestai. Look at somebody say, Tetelestai. So you know some Greek today. Here's my last thing I want to share with you today. Jesus didn't stay dead, and he won't stay gone. Look at somebody and say, Jesus didn't stay dead, and he won't stay gone. He's coming back, folks, just like he came the first time. He's coming back. Now, at this time, I want our praise team to come up here, and I've got our men to get ready. We're going to serve communion. We're going to have a church family communion today. And so, guys, get ready to serve. And but as they're getting ready and as our praise team are coming up here, I want everyone to bow your heads in here this morning. And we're going to have church family communion this morning. And I've had people ask me this before, and they say, well, Pastor Mark, we're not a member of Harvest Fellowship Church. That's okay. If you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, we're all in God's family. Amen. And so you're welcome to partake of this communion this morning. But I'm going to have this prayer before these guys serve you. And then our praise team is going to play as these guys are serving you this morning. And this is, so if you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, what you need to do is to call upon his name this morning. And the Bible says you shall be saved. So I want to lead you in this prayer this morning. Say, Lord Jesus, I need you in my life.
I need you in my life.
I believe you are the Son of God.
I believe you are the Son of God.
And you died on the cross for me.
And you died on the cross for me.
And rose again on the third day.
And rose again on the third day.
Please forgive me of my sins.
Please forgive me of my sins.
And create a clean heart in me. Renew my spirit so I can hear your voice. I accept you as my Savior. You are my Lord. Thank you for saving me. Everybody said. Now, as they serve it to you, You can go ahead and open that top part, but don't partake yet, because we're going to do this all together this morning. And as our praise team's playing back behind me, I'm going to read the scripture that goes with this. Yeah. Okay. And this is 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And this is the Apostle Paul got this revelation from the time that he spent with the Lord about Jesus did this with his disciples before he went to the cross. And then Jesus gave this revelation to the Apostle Paul to give to us today. And this is the scripture in 1 Corinthians when he's teaching the Corinthian church about communion or the Lord's Supper. And he says, "For I have received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" And then it says, "In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes.'" Now, before we partake, and we're going to do this all together, and I need somebody to serve the pastor as well. We're going to do this all together. And I just want to share a story with you real quick that's happened in my life. Thank you, Kent. And you might want to shake that juice up a little bit. I'm going to teach you. By the way, if you're a part of this church family and you come every Sunday, we have this offered every Sunday up here to my left, to my right, and this table back here at the back. And but there's times that we do together as a church family, and today's going to be one of those days. But I encourage you to do this as a family, individually. I see a lot of our families know this, and they'll come up here during worship or after church. They'll have communion together. You're also welcome to take some of these home with you. We have some that take them home and do them during the week together as a family. There's actually two stories. See, I'm a pastor. I got to tell you a bunch of stories this morning. But first story. There was one time I was here at the church and I was cleaning up. These are two stories of the pastor cleaning church, okay? I'm the janitor here too sometimes. And one day I was up here cleaning the church after a Sunday, and I went outside and had noticed some trash out on the playground outside, and I was out there and I was picking up some trash. And as I was in the little play area that we have out there for the kids, I saw a communion cup laying there. I was like, gosh, you know. Here's Pastor Mark for you. Golly, one of those kids got one of those, you know, and they took it out here and ate it. And golly, their parents need to teach them what they're doing and, you know, all this. And the Lord got on to me about that and said, "Mark, I'm glad they're going to that communion table. You may not think they know what they're doing, but they've heard you talk about it at church. They've heard their parents talk about it. I think it's cool that they came out here on the playground with me and had communion." Here's another one that happened to me. I've been talked to twice about communion. Another time I was in a church. I was serving in a church. I wasn't the senior pastor. I was on staff. And it was a particular Sunday where we had a church, and I can't remember if it was Easter Sunday, but it was some Sunday where we had church family communion. And on Monday, I was helping to clean up the sanctuary after the church service. And on Sunday that we had on Sunday, and we had in this church, we had pews where they had the little receptacles, you know, on the back of the pew for your communion cup. And in this church, they actually served a cup of communion with a piece of cracker. And when I was walking around cleaning up, I noticed there was a bunch of them were in the receptacle, still had juice in them, and had the cracker inside the juice. And I was walking around, I was going, "Lord, why? I mean, there's not just one. I mean, there were several around the whole church and each section of the church." And I said, "Lord, why did they not take communion?" And the Lord taught me something that day, the same way he taught me this deal about the children. He said, "Mark, what I don't want you to do, I'm calling you to be a pastor, and one of the things I don't want you to do is misrepresent my table." And he said, don't make that table so scary that people won't even come to it. And I was in a particular denomination and church where it was hellfire and brimstone, scared the hell out of you, okay? And people were scared to even take communion because they thought, if I take this, I'm going to die right here on the spot because I'm a sinner. Even though they knew Jesus, and Lord really spoke to me and said, Mark, I do not want you to ever misrepresent my table, because at my table are tax collectors, prostitutes. There's all kinds of sinners at my table. When I was here on this planet, that was what irked me about, I'm paraphrasing, okay, redneck language, about the religious people, is because they made it so difficult for people to come to me to the point where they were scared. And he said, don't ever misrepresent my table. And so we're all coming to this table today guilty. We're all sinners falling short of the glory of God. But what I said earlier, tetelestai, Jesus did it for us. Jesus paid our penalty. Our debt has been fully paid. Sin has been paid in full because of what Jesus did at the cross. Our sentence has been fully served because Jesus served that sentence for us. He took our judgment and our punishment. And then the other thing is, the battle is fully won. That's at the cross is where Jesus triumphed over the enemy, over sin, and over sickness. And if you're here today, the Bible talks about that when we partake of this, and we partake of the bread that represents Jesus' body, we partake of the juice that represents Jesus' blood, is that when you partake of this, you can be healed in Jesus' name. This is just like, this doesn't turn into Jesus, okay? All right, like some people teach. This is just emblems that represent what Jesus did at the cross for us. But when we take it by faith, and so there's two ways to come to this table. What the Apostle Paul talked about, this is what we're doing today. We come to this table remembering what Jesus did for me personally. And then we also come to this table celebrating because he's coming again. And he's coming for us. That's why he died in our place. So I'm not going to make this table is not to be hard to come to. Jesus even told me this, Mark, I want you to make it easy for people to come to this table because I want them to receive me. Jesus loves you this morning. All right, so I want you to take the bread. Sometimes that top layer is kind of hard to get off, but work with it. Partake of the bread. Now open up the juice. Let's partake of the juice. Amen. Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. And God, we thank you and praise you for the finished work of the cross. We thank you for the resurrection this morning. God, we thank you that by his stripes we are healed. That's what the body represents, is eternal life and healing. God, we thank you for the grape juice and what it represents. It represents the blood of Jesus. And without the blood, there's no remission of sins. And so we thank you that Jesus was the perfect sacrifice. He was the perfect Lamb of God. And he died in our place, God. And we can literally all say today, tetelestai in Greek. God, we can say it is finished. God, it is so finished today. Help us to realize that today. Help us to realize the victory that we have today in the name of Jesus. And God, we give you all the praise and all the glory for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. I want you all to stand up. And we're going to go out with this song today. And then right as soon as we get done singing this song, I'm going to come up and speak a blessing over you. And then we're going to be dismissed today. Thank you.
Citizen of heaven, when I was broken, you were my healing, and your love is the air that I'm breathing.
I needed rescue, my sin was heavy, chains break out the weight of your glory. I needed shelter, I was an orphan, now you call me a citizen of heaven. When I was broken, you were my healing. Your love is the air that I'm breathing. I have a future, my eyes are open. Cause when you called my name, shout it out, I ran out of that grave,
out of the darkness, into your glorious day. When you call my name, and I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness, into your glorious day.
Lift up a shout of praise.
Amen. Amen. You got your family standing there next with you, next to you, grab their hands. Now I'm going to speak this blessing over all of you. This is out of Numbers chapter 6, verses 24 through 26. It's actually the extended version of this blessing. This is a blessing that God told Moses. He said, when you speak this blessing over the children of Israel, I'm actually going to put my name upon them. And so I'm going to speak this blessing over you this morning. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you, and may the Lord give you his peace. May the Lord bless your going out and your coming in today. May the Lord anoint you to fulfill the divine destiny that God has given to you. May everything that is brought against you be crushed by the protection that God himself shall provide. May you be blessed in your health. May you be blessed in your relationships. May your children and your children's children be blessed, because they are the heritage of the righteous. From this day forward, as you submit yourselves to the Christ, to the cross, may your lives be filled with joy that is unspeakable and full of glory, and with peace that surpasses all understanding. May your home, as the Word of God says, be as the days of heaven on earth. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it. And everybody said, amen. Have a blessed Easter. Happy Easter, everybody. God bless you. Thank you, Anthony.